Welcome to a special episode of Sound Philosophy. This episode is for a third grade class that my wife teaches, and the topic will be empathy. I hope you all enjoy. What are you? That's obvious, right? You're a person. And a person has thoughts and feelings and experiences and a history and hopes for a future. But you know, obviously, that you're not the only person. There are other people all around you pretty much all the time. Yet it doesn't always feel that way, does it? Don't you sometimes feel that your life is just so big and so overwhelming? Well, that's because it's yours. Because you see everything filtered through your own eyes, your own thoughts, your own feelings and experiences, your history, your hopes for the future. It's almost like you're living in a film, and you are both the main character and the camera. Everything you see is filtered through your eyes, your camera. Everything you know is filtered through your thoughts. Everything you feel feels like it's yours alone. But you're literally surrounded by other people all the time, and they aren't just out there in space. They're a part of your life, whether you like it or not, and you relate to those other people in all sorts of ways. Some of them are your family. Some of them are people you love the most, your friends. Some of them are people you fear. Some of them are people you don't particularly like, and some of them are people you've never met. It's easy for us to think that some people just don't matter. They're just faces we see on the TV, or someone walking into a convenience store down the block, or that annoying kid in our class we just don't quite understand. But that's a mistake. Those people aren't separate from you, even if they seem like they are. So much of what you think, so much of what you feel, so many of your experiences are wrapped up in your relationships with other people, even those you barely know. So how do we deal with that? What do we do about it? We all know the simple answer: be kind, right? Sounds like good advice, and it is. But like a lot of good advice, saying be kind leaves out all the important details. First of all, what does it even mean to be kind? Let's imagine a situation. Let's say that your parent takes you to get a shot, right? To the doctor to get a shot. Now, someone like Jeffrey, who's quiet and tough, probably wouldn't say anything about it. He might think to himself, man, I don't want this shot. And if my parent wanted to be kind to me, they'd let me out of here and without getting the shot. And yet we all know, don't we, that the parent is being kind, because the shot isn't meant to happen because it hurts. It's meant to prevent an illness. And allowing Jeffrey not to have the shot, well, that would be unkind. Now, what do we even learn from this? Well, that kindness isn't simple. It requires judgment. It requires careful thought, and it requires imagination. To be kind means doing what is right for the well-being of someone else. But remember what I just said. We're connected to every other person, everyone. It might be relatively easy to be kind to your best friends because we know them well. We know how to be kind. It doesn't take any effort. Jasmine and Diana, they're best friends, I'm told, right? It's probably pretty easy for them to be kind to each other. But those other, more distant relationships, those strangers, those are harder. All those people we only kind of know or don't know at all, how can we be kind to them? Do we even have to be kind to them? If kindness requires judgment and careful thought and imagination, how do we go about doing it? How do we go about being kind in the right way? There are two words that people sometimes use to talk about how to be kind to each other. Those are sympathy and empathy. Notice they both end in pathy, right? Sympathy, empathy. That pathy, it comes from the Greek word pathos, and it can mean experience or even suffering. So when I have sympathy or empathy for someone else, I'm attempting to relate to their experience, maybe even to their suffering, to their pain. Maybe a better way to put it is that pathos is something that you've gone through. And so if I have sympathy or empathy for you, that means that I can, in some way, relate to what you have gone through. So how does sympathy differ from empathy? That's where a teacher or someone like me might step in and tell you the difference between the two words. And see, just like Lyric, I'm a writer, and I'm very interested in history. So I looked into it for you guys, and I discovered that it's not easy. that the older word in the English language is sympathy, and it meant to suffer alongside someone else, to suffer with them. And that's how it was used all the way up into around 1900, and it was the main way in which we understood having feelings for other people. But around 1900, a German writer introduced a German word called Einfühlung, which when translated into English becomes empathy. Now, it means something closer to feeling in or feeling into. So sympathy means feeling with, and empathy means feeling in or into. These days, most people seem to use the word sympathy to mean a feeling of pity. Sympathy these days seems to mean that you have an understanding of someone else's suffering and their experiences. You can think about it, but you don't necessarily feel it. Sympathy says, I see you. I acknowledge what's going on with you, and I want you to feel seen. I recognize that I am not you, that I am not having the same life that you're having, but I get it. I understand what you're going through, even if the things that I'm going through are different. Empathy says something else. Empathy says that I can experience what you are experiencing through my imagination and the fact that I've had similar experiences in the past. Empathy says that in the deepest sense, you and I are very similar. And in this moment, we're basically the same. We're feeling the same thing. I don't just see you, says empathy. I feel you. I feel what you're feeling. Now, words are very important. Lyric can tell you that. If you look into it, you might find that some readers now take a relatively negative view of sympathy. They say it involves judgment and distance rather than acceptance and closeness. But I wonder if that's not a little unfair to the word sympathy. After all, we do lead very different lives, even though we are all people. There are certain things that we all go through, being hungry, being tired, wanting to be loved. That's something pretty much all of us feel. Those are things that people feel at various times in their lives, all of us. But there are certain experiences that you've had that I'll never have. And I imagine there are some experiences that I've had that you'll never have. Does that mean that we can't possibly understand each other? That we have to remain strangers? I hope not. For example, I will never be as cold as James Scott. There it is. I've said it out loud. So I can't possibly relate to how cool it must be to be James Scott. But I have an imagination. I would say I even have a good imagination. I've never and probably will never fly to the moon either, but I can imagine it if I try. What I'm saying is that if empathy requires that I identify completely with something and sympathy acknowledges that I can't, then sometimes empathy is appropriate and sometimes sympathy is appropriate. Why does it have to be just one or the other? Let's think through two examples. Here's the first. Daniela is an artist, right? Now, let's say that she wants to draw a picture. She wants that picture to represent happiness and fun. But she knows that there's not just one kind of happiness. There's not just one kind of fun. So she thinks about Alicia, who can be silly and fun. And then she thinks about Jameer, who can be funny with jokes and his way of looking at the world. And what Daniela does is she closes her eyes and she looks into the funniest part of herself and how that relates to the silliness of Alicia and how that relates to the hilarious jokes that Jameer makes. And then she draws a picture that captures a kind of happiness that connects her understanding of fun to what she sees in Alicia and in Jameer. And this is an act of trying to get inside the experiences of Alicia and Jameer. And that's empathy. And it's amazing. And we do it all the time. We see something somebody's going through, something that we've gone through, and we say, yes, I feel that. In other words, Daniela, by drawing happiness and fun and using Alicia and Jameer as her models for fun, she's saying, I feel that way too. Their experience and my experience are basically the same. And that should feel good because that shows a connection that's deeper than words. And we need that connection to other people. We need to feel connected in order just to live our lives. And that's empathy. Now, what about sympathy? Let's move to our second example. Actually, we're going to make it two examples, right? First, a kind of silly one. Mackenzie loves dragons. I don't know anything about dragons. In fact, I don't particularly like shows with dragons in them. I kind of think they're silly and not that interesting. Now, I cannot, therefore, have empathy for Mackenzie's love of dragons because I have no love for dragons. I'm sorry, Mackenzie. But I do have an understanding of the joy of the imagination. of the joy of thinking about things that I cannot directly experience. So even though I can't have empathy for the love of dragons, I love other things. And therefore, I can have sympathy for Mackenzie's experience. Now, that's a silly example. Let's take a more interesting one and a more serious one. Jose and Johnny, they're new students, relatively speaking, to the classroom. They haven't lived in Philadelphia all their lives, like several other of you have. They come from other situations, and they had other experiences that the rest of us will never have, and therefore will never really feel those experiences. For example, their first language is not English. And that's true of several of you, I'm sure. They don't feel at home in the language the way that some of us do. Think about that for a second, by the way. You are at home in a language. You live in a language. You have comfort in your home, and you have comfort in your language. You can express yourself. And Jose and Johnny, they're being asked to speak a language where they are not at home. Now, if you grew up speaking English, you can't really have empathy for that, not directly. You're not in a situation where you're forced to not be at home in the way you express yourself. But that doesn't mean you can't have some kind of understanding of what they're going through. You can have sympathy. In fact, I think we have to have sympathy, because that must be in some ways pretty frightening and pretty scary, pretty difficult. It must be in some ways alienating. There must be ways that we can relate to that, right? Noah's a tough guy. I'm sure he's been in tough situations. And so even though he may not have had the same experiences as Jose and Johnny, he's had similar ones that he can apply in thinking about their experiences. He can understand, even if he can't completely feel, what Jose and Johnny are going through. You see, I hear about you people all the time. I've never met any of you directly, but I feel like I know you. Now, that's a tricky thing. I don't know you personally, but I feel like I do. Some of that is empathy, and some of that is sympathy. For example, Zechariah is a leader. I'm more of a follower, I guess. I love hearing stories about Zechariah, though, taking charge of things. And on some level, I understand it, even if I don't feel the same way. Aelin is a rule follower a bit, right? And even a rule enforcer, from what I understand. And I can have empathy for that. Being a teacher, I have to deal with rules all the time. And I love hearing stories about how Aelin keeps records of what's going on when Mrs. Jenkins is at home, either because she's sick or I'm sick or our children are sick. I admire and empathize with the way that Aelin keeps everyone straight. And of course, I can relate with great empathy to Henry, because Henry has made it very clear that he has great affection for my wife, his teacher, Mrs. Jenkins. So I have empathy for you, Henry, but she's my girl. Here's the point, and it really is pretty simple. It's easy to feel alone. Sometimes I think the world, the way it's been set up by years of silly politics, years of distrust, years of forgetting that we live surrounded by other people and that those other people matter to us whether we know it or not, sometimes I think that the world encourages us to feel alone, to feel isolated, to feel like no one cares. The world tells us in various ways to go make money, go be a success, be important. Doesn't matter what anyone else says or does, and it doesn't matter what you have to do to get there. Just get there. You have to rely on yourself alone. But no one can do that. It's not possible. People who succeed, whether they realize it or not, they succeed because of all of the other people, including strangers, including people they don't know, that helped them get there. For example, right? How would I have made this talk if other people hadn't come up with stories about the origins of the word empathy? I didn't know that. I had to look it up. I couldn't have made this podcast episode without my darling wife, Mrs. Jenkins. I wouldn't have had a reason to. I wouldn't have been able to make this episode without all of you, because you're the reason I made it. I haven't met any of you, but I did this for you. So remember, you are not alone. You will never be alone. It might feel that way sometimes, but it isn't true. And maybe our job as people in this world is to make sure that other people, whether they are our loved ones or our total strangers, maybe our job is to make sure that other people feel a little bit less alone. We'll be right back. Thank you for listening to this episode of Sound Philosophy. I want to quickly call out the crew and say hi to Henry, Daniela, Jasmine, Lyric, Zechariah, Diana, Alicia, Jeffrey, Aylin, Jameer, Ashley, Mackenzie, Noah, James, Jose, and Johnny. I hope you're all well, and I hope I do get to actually meet you in person someday. I love you, Kelly Aaron Inskeep Jenkins.